Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Elogi. Say hi to the good people.
Hi to the good people.
Yeah, so once again, it's just us two. Apparently, band season is not up just yet. God, I would hate... You know, I just realized, Chris, were you in band when you were in high school?
No, I was in like a brief bit in fifth grade until I was the last trombone player, and I quit.
Yeah, I wasn't either. And every day I thank God that I wasn't, because Jesus Christ, that is hell on your schedule. But yeah, that should be over soon, so hopefully Teresa will be back with us soon. But once again, this week is just going to be us two, but we certainly aren't... starving for events, because a whole bunch of just interesting and fascinating stuff happened this week. The coach for the Raiders basically had to resign after people found out he was a racist, homophobic, misogynistic piece of shit. The governor of Missouri is computer illiterate, and very clearly there was a short-term increase for the federal debt ceiling that was passed, but it ain't going to last forever. Korea is slowly taking over the world. And, we might be on the verge of just a straight-up fucking general strike in the coming weeks. We'll explain why, because there's a lot of little things that are kind of interlocking with each other in ways that we haven't seen in many, many years. But, DC had their whole fan dome thing happen, so we got a bunch of trailers to share with you as well. But yeah, all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. This is October 16th, 2021. We are now very much into the middle of October, and it certainly does feel like it. So, Chris, what have you been doing over in your neck of the woods?
Still been busy with work. I think this is the last week of super busy time for the time being.
Yeah.
So that is good to get a little bit of a break and not be working shifts that basically take away all of your afternoon and evening.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little bit more time to do things. Anything, really.
Yep.
So that's good. But I've been watching some stuff. Watched Black Widow. Now it's on Disney Plus.
I have heard mixed things about it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think the big issue is it's not really a super necessary movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Other than probably introducing who would probably replace Scarlett Johansson in that role as the next character. As, you know, comic books are want to do is to, you know, find a new character that takes on this role or mantle or whatever. And so this one, I think, sets that up.
Mm-hmm.
At least a certain person to fulfill a similar role in it. But, yeah, I think it takes place after Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
In that wake where the Avengers are disbanded, all that kind of stuff. Her theme is all wanted fugitives, that kind of thing. Yeah. So there's that to that. So yeah, it's fine for what it is. I think it's going to stand up as one of the best movies in the MCU, but you know, it's on Disney Plus. You can check it out. There's that. Then I watched Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales, sort of their Halloween special.
Yeah.
Of sorts, which is kind of them doing a Treehouse of Horror for Lego Star Wars. So there's like three stories that are being told by this dude on Mustafar, which is Darth Vader's like base planet. Essentially like his... After he's, you know, died and gone and all that, his fortress has been taken over by a cousin of Jabba the Hutt, who's trying to turn into a, you know, hotel and all this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then along the way, this dude that claims to be the one that helped turn Kylo Ren to the dark side, mm-hmm. essentially a leader of the Knights of Ren before Kylo joined them.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells these three stories involving, I think, conveniently, each of the three eras of Star Wars. One for the prequels, there's one for the original trilogy, and one for the sequel trilogy.
Mm.
So some neat stuff. There's one that literally involves what they call a Wookiee's paw.
Mm. Of course.
Version of the monkey's paw kind of thing. So, yeah, it's neat. Nothing really too amazing about it, but it's some Star Wars-themed Halloween stuff, so it's pretty neat. And then I've been just continuing to watch Squid Game. Mm-hmm. I am in the fifth episode, so making my way through it.
Yeah, how many episodes are there? Like six?
I think it's nine.
Nine, okay.
Could be wrong on that. It's like eight or nine, I think. So I'm about two-thirds of the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are definitely a lot of plot threads that are going on as things continue.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been through two more games at this point. Mm-hmm. Both seemingly children's games. One definitely one that I think is more specific to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Let's see. As for games, I've been playing The Good Life. I streamed that earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
That is the new game from Swery and his new studio.
Yep.
White Owls.
Mm-hmm.
And very much has the vibe of a Deadly Premonition, but there's no like horror game element to it.
Yeah.
So you got, you're playing this photo journalist, I guess, that is going on this trip to this small English town that at least 30 years prior was voted the happiest town in the world. And you're there to find out the secret, which you find out pretty quickly at the end of the first day. One person tells you, like, hey, don't stay out after night. Lock yourself in your... They give her a house to stay in, and she tells everything a hellhole about mm-hmm. this town. She's very much kind of like Bill Murray's character in Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's just kind of an asshole
coming
into town. I assume by the end she might become a bigger part of the town, come to like it, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you get some characters that are a bit weird.
Mm.
To that, some that are, you know, maybe more normal. I don't know. But yeah, there's it kind of has like a daily thing going on. You got time passing as you're going around, so you're trying to complete, you know, missions you're getting, some by email from the new studio that you're working for, who tells you have like a 30 million pound debt
mm-hmm.
to them somehow. I don't know how you're getting that kind of debt with an employer
mm-hmm.
like that, but you're supposedly working that off, and you're sent to find out the secret. You're taking photos, all this kind of stuff, uploading them to a site called Flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get more views on them, they get you money.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, it's exactly, I think it's like one pence, I guess, per view. So there's some decent stuff to that. Whole mechanic, can get better cameras and parts and all that as you go along, but you're kind of getting some missions in the email, which he complains like, oh, this computer's old and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is. It's kind of Windows, maybe 95-esque sort of interface.
Mm-hmm.
Though there's only two things on it, one for your email and one for going to Flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing is like the Flamingo, you only upload so many pictures, but I guess the stuff that you take, the pictures you take early on that you submit, you can delete, though I'm kind of annoyed that you can't just like keep them in like a storage somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you upload a good photo. You should probably take it twice if you want to keep the some of the neat ones.
Mm-hmm.
Although your starting camera kind of sucks from the way some of these images look. So that's pretty neat. I've been enjoying that. There's definitely some issues with it. Mm-hmm. One is like the...
Well, I mean, it's a sweary game, right? So...
Yeah, but one is probably a big one.
Yeah.
Where there's this whole thing where the environment kind of flickers in and out.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You go into a building and you'll be talking to a character and they... Everything's normal except the, you know, like the counter and building and all that are just kind of like flickering out occasionally. It can happen when you're just running around the town too as well. So there's, that's kind of, it's nothing like super awful. It doesn't cause anything major to happen, but it's just kind of an annoying thing. It's like, man, I kind of wish this wasn't here so I could enjoy this a little bit more. The other thing is there's some spelling errors on the English. There's one place that is a pharmacy, but there's no R in the name. It just says pharmacy. And that flamingo, the has like the tagline, like a photographer's site by photographer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they forget the first O in the second photographer's. So, you know, some stuff that I feel like it would have been nice if they caught that, but that's those are minor things. You might go through without even noticing them. But yeah, it's been pretty good so far. I look forward to putting some more time into that. So that's kind of that. I've been playing some more Metroid Dread. I've gotten a good bit of more upgrades on that. So that's been good. I've beaten a couple of bosses. Took out one more of the Emmys. So I think I have four left. Three or four left, I think. Got into some new areas that are pretty weird
here. I mean, this is Metroid we're talking about, so, you know, like weirdness is to be expected.
Yeah, areas full of water that limit your ability to get around.
Yeah, that's straight out of Super Metroid.
Yeah, some weird-looking fish monsters, and there's some that hang on the wall and pull you towards them.
Yep.
So there's a lot of weird stuff like that. But, yeah. Enjoying it a lot now. Hoping to see how much more of this there is. So, yeah. Kind of continuing on with that. And let's see. Just playing some more Rocket League. They got a nice little event going on here for Halloween, which is all Batman themed.
That's right.
All the old Batmobiles that have been in the game. Which is what the 89 Batmobile, the Bat tank looking thing that's in Batman, what Origins, whatever that one's called, Batman Begins. And then there is the other one that is, I think, the Batman versus Superman Batmobile, which is a very kind of a thin one as far as like. From top to bottom of the vehicle. It's a very kind of flat vehicle, which a lot of people like for that. So people get a chance to buy those if they haven't before. Then there's the event that just has a bunch of objectives to complete for various cosmetic Batman things. One that's pretty nice is just kind of the boost coming out of the back of your car is just a lot of Haas for a Joker. So that one looks pretty nice. There's a good 10 or 11 challenges to do, so a good bit of stuff to work through for the next couple weeks here. So that's been pretty much it. Brandon, how about you?
All right. Well, I am still playing Fallout New Vegas. I have now long since met up with Mr. House, and I've gotten the chip back, the platinum chip back, and given it to him. And now I'm more or less taking care of various jobs for him. Trying to work with the various three families that are in New Vegas, dealing with some issues between the people of Freeside and the encroaching NCR troops that are coming. I've gone across the Colorado River and met with Caesar. It is still an amazing fucking game. I mean, it is aged noticeably, but it still holds up shockingly well in just a lot of different ways. I now also have figured out what my favorite weapon is, which is the cowboy repeater, because it's basically a, you know, it's like a lever action repeater rifle, you know, Civil War style. And a single bullet packs a hell of a punch. I have also gone into Vault 22, which, for those who have never played Fallout New Vegas before, well, those of you who have played Fallout New Vegas extensively, when I bring up Vault 22, you probably felt a little bit of your insides cringe a little bit. Not because Vault 22 is bad, per se. Not at all. It's very well designed. It's just extremely stressful. Because the sort of whole idea is that the people who were in this vault were working on ways to improve crop production. And at some point, they ended up like crossbreeding one breed of plant with another. And basically, like, the first thing you see when you get to the vault is, like, there's all these, like, grass, flowers and stuff just bursting out of it. And then you get inside and you see kind of this green haze everywhere, and you realize there's nobody else in here. You're literally alone. It's just you. And then you start noticing these conspicuously large, like, groups of growth that are, like, in the middle of various parts. You know, they're like coming out from the corner, they're in the hallways, or they're coming out of a table. And if you look just closely enough, you can see there seems to be something moving inside of, and then it's too late, and then one of the spore carriers comes out and rips your nuts off. It is, and they are not easy to kill either. Even with pretty strong weapons, it takes some serious firepower to take them out. Let's see. I also went to there. There's another faction I just met called the Boomers, and I know what you're thinking, but they're not that kind of Boomers. Basically, they're in the northeast part of the map, and they're basically a group of people who ended up leaving a vault that was like heavily stocked with weapons, but because they had all these weapons and they only let them shoot at the range and not set off the like bigger guns and bombs inside the vault, they finally said screw this, and they left the vault and to start their own settlement elsewhere. So you literally have a settlement made up entirely of gun nuts, and I mean, even by Fallout standards. These people are like what would happen if like a cargo cult decided to form around Smith and Wesson. It's amazing. But yeah, so I'm still playing that. Doing lots of reading still. Got a couple of Elmore Leonard books again from the used bookstore that are really good. One of them's a combination of two of his early westerns. Another one is called The Moonshine War, which is really good. And in continuing my sort of horror theme that I've been doing this month, instead of watching another movie, I got turned on to something on YouTube by a friend of mine. So, Chris, have you ever heard of Local 58?
I don't think so.
Okay. Local 58 is a analog horror channel on YouTube where it's basically like a sort of tapes from like a local television channel that where the tapes have been invaded by some kind of supernatural presence and everything. Pretty good. But then a friend of mine turned me on to something else called Gemini Home Entertainment, which is kind of like it, like a spiritual successor to it. But the overarching idea is different. See, the idea with Local 58 is that the tapes from Local 58 were invaded by some kind of supernatural presence, slowly take them over. That's not the case in Gemini Home Entertainment. In Gemini Home Entertainment, the horror is already there. There's like an internal mythos that's already been built up happening in this sort of alternate reality where these tapes come from. And basically, it's like the Earth has been invaded by like this weird Lovecraftian presence that's like using the planets and the solar system against us to invade the planet with these weird otherworldly creatures. And it's fucking terrifying, and it's so good too. The individual tapes have like very like the individual videos have like very nonchalant titles, like Weird Animals of America, or Camping Tips, stuff like that, games for kids, or like a school documentary on the solar system. And then very slowly you'll start to notice these weird little things happen. And it's especially like started off with like the very first video, which is about Weird Animals of America. And it has its location largely in like rural Minnesota, where it's like, you know, the prairie chicken and the burrowing owl. And then it'll say, and then this animal is located everywhere, and it's called the wood crawlers. And they're basically these weird, giant, spidery things that build their nest inside large homes and slowly take over the population and create things called, quote-unquote, fake people, which are meant to look like vaguely humanoid individuals so that it wards off intruders. But if you actually look at it up close, they're basically like humanoid things made out of meat moss. It's freaking incredible. I highly recommend it. And it's legitimately amazing. Other than that, just fall weather, man. It's finally here. Asshole summer has finally come and gone, and it is actually feels like autumn now. The high today was 74. The forecast is looking like it's not going to get any higher than 80 over the next week. It legitimately feels good out there now.
Yeah, this morning, like on 10 o'clock, it was like 48.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, nice. Also, I probably shouldn't wear shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing just like a quick run for something.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant put on my lazy pants.
Yep. Yeah, I went out walking. I had to put on I didn't have to put on jeans. It was just 74, but I could definitely tell a difference in the air, shall we say. I could feel cool air in my lungs for the first time in months. Yeah. Anything you want to add before we move on?
Nope.
Alrighty then. It is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And sort of keeping with the vaguely horror theme, and also with the fact that I've been, obviously playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas recently. I came upon something recently that just fascinates the hell out of me. So, I think as we all here sort of understand, nuclear power is it's very efficient and it's very productive and it can do a lot of good, but it also has some, shall we say, some issues, especially when you're trying to, say, store away all of the waste and everything. Now, nuclear waste is one of those things that when it sticks around and it stays radioactive, it doesn't go away in a few days. It doesn't go away in a few months. Hell, it doesn't even go away in a few years. It can take hundreds of years for nuclear fallout sites or nuclear, places where nuclear waste is stored, for it to get anywhere close to manageable as far as radiation is concerned. There are parts of Chernobyl that are still uninhabitable to this day, Now, fortunately, we've sort of begun to learn more and more about nuclear power and how to deal with it and how to deal with the waste in ways that are more efficient, not as risky. And don't make this as some kind of blanket condemnation of nuclear power. Nuclear power is actually a good thing. But it is understandably feared by a lot of people. And when things go wrong, it can go really wrong really, really fast. But here's the thing. Imagine we have all this nuclear waste and we've got it stored in places all over, say, just in North America. And say, you know, like I said, it takes centuries for, if not millennia, for nuclear waste to lose its danger level. Say something was to happen to our civilization. And let's be honest, the way it's looking, we're kind of staring down the barrel of that gun as we speak, aren't we?
Yep.
Well, say we disappear and then another civilization rises up to take its place, or say some other civilizations from across the stars come, or in general, some other group of people that aren't us come upon a nuclear waste site. Now, here's the question. How do you communicate to those potential future civilizations about what the danger of this location is? Like, how do you communicate to them that this is a place you should not enter, you should not linger around to it, you should avoid it at all costs? Because if you do, this will kill you. We have the luxury of having huge amounts of knowledge of how nuclear power and radiation works. General knowledge people know is like, if something is nuclear and radiated, you don't want to get close to it. You want to stay away from it. But that's because we have the benefit of decades upon decades of research and learning on the subject. How do you communicate this type of information to a civilization that has never encountered nuclear radiation or doesn't know how nuclear radiation works? Well, the U.S. Department of Energy has been grappling with that problem in the last few years. And what they decided to do, and they tried to communicate like symbols that they think can be necessary. Like, obviously, you've seen the radiation symbol, right? We're all fairly familiar with it. And we associate that with danger, but that won't necessarily work for another civilization because their symbols will be different. So we could also say use like the skull and crossbones, which is a fairly universal symbol of this is dangerous, keep out. But even then, you know, there are still ways that particular symbol can be lost. So the next best thing you can do is to try and write something on a sign, communicate in the most general terms possible in the language that you think, hope that they will be speaking in the future. Now, here in the U.S., we speak English. And there, you know, the idea is eventually put these plaques out that other governments will adopt similar plaques in their languages so that if something were to happen to human civilization as we know it now, the various groups that will come afterwards can sort of communicate with each other and figure out that these places are dangerous. So in the next coming decades, all of the nuclear waste sites in the United States and hopefully through the Western world are going to bear a plaque. And this is the plaque as it's going to be written. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's written in English. Obviously, if this was in another country, it would language, but this is what is written. This place is a message and part of a system of messages. Pay attention to it. Sending this message was important to us. We considered ourselves to be a powerful culture. This place is not a place of honor. No highly esteemed deed is commemorated here. Nothing valued is here. What is here is dangerous and repulsive to us. This message is a warning about danger. The danger is in a particular location. It increases towards a center. The center of danger is here, of a particular size and shape, and below us. The danger is still present in your time as it was in ours. The danger is to the body, and it can kill. The form of the danger is an emanation of energy. The danger is unleashed only if you substantially disturb this place physically. This place is best shunned and left uninhabited. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a fucking dog, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, over the next couple decades, the Department of Energy is going to be sticking those plaques on various nuclear fallout sites because, again, nuclear waste does not lose its danger in a short amount of time. It takes a long-ass time, and we'll probably be gone by the time another civilization comes along with this shit. And, yeah, that's what they decided to fucking write on it. But it does get the message across, I suppose. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Damn. All right. So with that, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we must begin with our assholes of the week. And we have a handful to get through here. We got four in all. The first one, I think, was the one that really, like, was the big sort of name, sort of news thing, was Las Vegas Raiders coach John Gruden. He was forced to resign this week after people got a hold of some emails he sent while he was working at ESPN that contained a bunch of racist, homophobic, and misogynistic remarks.
Yep. These were emails that were found as part of a different investigation.
Mm-hmm.
As the NFL was investigating the formerly called the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, which is now the...
just Washington Football Team.
Yeah, I don't think they have a new name yet, but...
No, it's just that for now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're investigating their toxic work culture from mm-hmm. the past several years, collected some 650,000 emails and documents and such.
Oh, the ESPN has a toxic work culture, you know.
No, Washington Football Team.
Oh, Washington Football.
These are emails John Gruden sent to their then team president, Bruce Allen.
Mm.
So some of these, the first one that came out was one where he was talking about the head of the players union, Demaryius mm-hmm. Smith. Saying that he had something to the effect of like the biggest lips ever, something like mm-hmm. that. People quite rightfully called out as like, those are racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a stereotype about black people that racists like to talk about. Then the NFL sent along more they found.
Oh boy.
One's calling the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell a faggot.
Yep.
And a whatever, NFL hating pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another email he criticized the league supposedly forcing the St. Louis Rams to draft Michael Sam several mm-hmm. years ago, calling him a queer.
Uh-huh.
He was the first, I think, out gay player that got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Saying the league should not have pressured the team to draft him, which then the coach of the team at that point, the St. Louis Rams, came out and said, we drafted him of our own volition. He was co-defensive player of the year for the SEC, saying like he was very much a player they were interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the way that, you know, you would want to have happen. So, yeah.
Mm.
Also, conveniently, that this guy, John Gruden, is the coach of current player Carl Nassib, who came mm-hmm. out as gay earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Became the first active player in league history to announce he is gay.
Mm.
So, wouldn't have been a great time if he stayed on, so he ended up resigning, like, Tuesday after all this stuff came out, or maybe that later that night. This happened on Monday when this stuff
mm-hmm.
all this happened, you know, during Monday Night Football, conveniently. Mm. Unfortunately, they did not have the secondary broadcast they've been doing throughout this season, which is one that features Peyton and Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
who are hilarious together.
Yeah.
It would have been fun to see them react to all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it was just the main Monday Night Football crew sort of going over, talking about things when they can. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he stepped down, which saves the Raiders a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the third year of a 10-year, $100 million contract.
Mm.
So he lost some $70 million or so as a result of, you know, voluntarily resigning.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's probably done being considered for any sort of coaching jobs. So that's good to see, because there are definitely players that have not thought of him very highly.
Nope.
I'm thinking he's a bad dude for, you know, 2 decades mm-hmm. even at this point.
Yeah. All right. Next up. A reporter over at a St. Louis newspaper, he noticed that a lot of government sites, I believe this is what was happening, that a lot of government sites, that their DNS addresses were using a lot of social security numbers for people in Missouri. I'm guessing government employees. Keep in mind, I want to make this clear, because this is DNS is something you can do for any website, pretty much, if you know what key to hit. It's
in HTML.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no DNS involved in this. Just looking at the HTML source code.
Yeah, just look at the source code. You can see the shit. It's very easy to do. All you got to do is hit, what is it, like F14?
There you just hit, you right-click, it's right at the bottom of the menu.
Yep.
At least on Chrome.
Well, so they alerted the government's office to say, you know, yeah, just so you guys know, there's like this big sort of like issue here. It's like you're inadvertently giving out of people's bunches of private information on the source code. You might want to look at that. And that really pissed off Missouri's Governor Mike Parson. Not because somebody had been using social security numbers for the HTML source code, but because somebody found that they were using it, and now he's claiming that they're hackers.
Yeah.
This guy does not know how to use a computer. Just...
Yeah, this is involving teachers,
mm-hmm.
a website that is used for the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, DESE, that found out that their social security numbers of teachers and other school staff are pretty easy to find.
Yeah,
just looking at the HTML source code of the page, which is easy to find, so much so that I often accidentally pull it up on a lot of pages.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to paste something, and know that when you're pasting in some places, it's like at the bottom of the little right-click menu, and just get to the habit of doing that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's annoying. But he's claiming, let's see, not only are we going to hold this individual accountable, but we'll also be holding accountable all those who aided this individual and the media corporation that employs them. It's like, they didn't do anything.
No, in fact, they were trying to warn you about this.
Yeah, he's claiming that they've decoded the sites and all this other shit.
Like, no, that's...
That's why you need tech people to explain this stuff to you.
That's why we need computer literacy in school.
Yeah. Of course,
this dude's an old-ass man, so it wouldn't matter at this point, but...
Yeah, he's 66.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's he's saying this could cost taxpayers $50 million. Like, no, you just fucking have your IT people overhaul the website, take it down, overhaul it so that this kind of sensitive information is not easily displayed in the HTML code.
Mm-hmm. Not terribly difficult. Just need to redo a few lines of code, and you know it wouldn't be a problem. But Yeah, he basically got lambasted on fucking Twitter, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And next up, oh yeah, Robert Durst. You know him, the guy who killed a bunch of people, rich guy, and basically ended up outing himself on a hot mic for a documentary where he basically admitted he killed all of them, including his best friend. Well, he just got sentenced to life in prison for killing his best friend.
Yep. Yeah, convicted in L.A. Superior Court last month of first-degree murder for shooting Susan Berman point-blank in the back of the head at her home in December 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Preventing her from incriminating him in the reopened investigation of his wife's 1982 disappearance in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Berman provided a phony alibi for Durst when Kathy Durst vanished.
Mm-hmm.
Durst testified he didn't kill either woman, but said on cross-examination that he would lie if he had. But yeah, he got off on his wife's murder or disappearance, mm-hmm. As well as the case around killing his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That had been involved in all that kind of stuff as well. So yeah, it's he's going to be gone for the rest of his life, so that's good. Better late than never.
All right. And finally, oh boy. So Texas is infamous for its extremely regressive and reactionary boards of education and the influence that they have. And because they're trying to go through this way where they're trying to, like, you know, both sides everything, even when, you know, it's not supposed to be or even worth both siding things.
Yeah.
The school board suggested that teachers need to provide books with opposing views to the Holocaust. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can even hear it in the recording that they made. People were like, wait, what? Seriously?
They still backed it up.
Yeah.
With that. So, yeah, this involves a new law that requires there to be, for any books you stock in libraries and such in schools, but you have to have other books that provide other perspectives on those things. Which it's not really how books are written.
No. And also not every issue has two sides to it, especially, yeah, like, you know, industrialized mass murder.
Yeah. So let's see. This involves Gina Petty, executive director of curriculum instruction for the Carroll Independent School District, saying, just try to remember the concepts of 3979. It's the bill that's being passed. Let's see. And make sure that if you have a book on the Holocaust, that you have one that has an opposing, that has other perspectives. Yeah, that mandates, among other things, that public school teachers choose to discuss current events or widely debated controversial public policy or social issues. They should present numerous points of view without giving deference to any one perspective. A teacher of the meeting asked, how do you oppose the Holocaust? Petty responded, believe me, that's come up. Which should show you that maybe you're, the things you're saying about this are stupid as hell.
Yeah.
This is what happens when your entire perspective on this, your entire ideology is based on contrarianism.
Yeah. Because you want to know what the opposing view of the Holocaust is? It's Holocaust denial. Which, I should point out, is actually a fucking federal crime in certain parts of the world.
Yeah.
Like Germany, for instance, you know, the place that was kind of responsible for it.
Yeah, but guess what country had a lot of support for the Nazis?
The United States.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of people who were fans of them. Charles Lindbergh, Henry Ford.
This isn't even any neo-Nazi stuff. This is when the Nazis were rising into power.
No, this is the 1930s we're talking about.
Even during.
Mm-hmm. Even right up to the very eve of December 7th, 1941, when Pearl Harbor happened and we had to get into the war at that point.
Yeah.
Nope.
So yeah, of course, the school district had to apologize for all this shit.
Yeah, of course. No shit.
I just made a statement via Facebook apologizing for the incident. As the superintendent of schools, I express my sincere apology regarding the online article and news story released today. In the conversation with teachers during last week's meeting, the comments are made were in no way to convey that the Holocaust was anything less than a terrible event in history. Additionally, we recognize that there are not two sides of the Holocaust. As we continue to work through implementation of HB 3979, we also understand this bill does not require an opposing viewpoint on historical facts. As a district, we will work to add clarity to our expectations for teachers, and once again apologize for any hurt or confusion this has caused.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, who gets to decide what historical facts are? If you're in denial of the Holocaust, why would you call that a fact?
Exactly.
Just like when people try to tell the actual story of slavery in this country.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who want to put their heads in the sand.
And a lot of it is because the story of slavery in the United States is also heavily interlaced with the story of our country's founding and the men who did that founding. You know?
Yeah.
It means that the men that we've built a sort of cult of personality around, we have to admit that they were not saints, that they were deeply flawed, you know?
Sure, things they would probably agree with.
Yeah. George Washington was a military hero. He is rightly called the father of our country, and he made a lot of great presences when he was president of the country, including when it was time to give up power. He was also a monster who enslaved hundreds of people and beat them very badly.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson was a hero, wrote the Declaration of Independence, also helped write the Declaration of Citizen in France. He had an enormous part in not only getting the sort of language of democratic liberalism, but also the idea of a democratic republic and the concepts that we base a lot of the American ideology around. He was also a monster who enslaved hundreds of people and sexually exploited young girls.
Yeah. That's the whole point of going to a new country, not to have a king essentially treated like a deity.
Yeah.
Except people didn't listen to any of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just think, oh, these guys helped found our country. That means they're amazing people.
I mean, don't get me wrong, what they accomplished was pretty amazing, but a lot of that was in spite of the views that they actually held. Not because of it.
Would do outside of that.
Like what they did to the Native Americans, for example.
Yeah.
It's like how George Washington kind of sort of started the French and Indian War by himself.
Yeah. It's like you can have a means of teaching that these people are complex individuals.
Yeah.
Both good and bad things about them. It's not, you don't have to teach everything like either good or bad. It's not comic book shit.
Yeah.
You can do a thing where you can see, like, they're actual people.
Yeah.
Had these good things about them, and they had these bad things about them.
And we can praise...
Just like we do with any president that came out after them.
Yeah, and we can praise the good things and condemn the bad things. You know?
Yeah, but there's people that are so dedicated to patriotism that they're just blinded themselves to anything that could be considered constructive criticism about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you end up in this point where we can't have supposed history books that say anything but we're the good guys and everything.
Yeah.
There can't be anything bad that happened in the past, you know, 300 years of this country existing.
Yeah, including, you know, not just obviously the War of Independence, but also a certain civil war that, you know, nearly tore the entire country in twain. But
many other little things along the way, big things.
Yeah, a lot of big things happened in that thing. But anyway, fortunately, it's not all bad. It's not all bad. We also have some heroes of the week we can talk about. Specifically, Miss Mary McLeod Bethune. She will be the first black person to have a state commission statue in U.S. Capitol Statuary Hall.
Yeah. A nice thing to see after getting rid of the various sort of Confederate statues.
Yep.
In the U.S. Capitol Statuary Hall. I don't know if they're actually out right at this moment, but they've at least voted to get rid of them all.
Awesome.
But, yeah, this one, they can see for themselves that the larger-than-life marble figure was unveiled in Bethune's home state of Florida earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
It remained there for several months before taking its place in the nation's capital in early 2022. Yeah, she was the daughter of formerly enslaved people, was an influential educator and activist who, among her many accomplishments, founded the National Council of Negro Women, advised multiple U.S. presidents, and created a boarding school for black children that would later become Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach.
Ah, nice.
So if you're wondering where that name sounds familiar, the last name at least, there you go.
But yeah, so moving on from there. Yeah, folks, it's that time again. We're going back.
Is that your bird in the back?
Yeah, it is. There ain't nothing I can do about that, unfortunately.
All right.
He just wants in on the conversation. He has very strong views about COVID policy. Yes, you're right. You're right, Coconut. They should get vaccinated. But anyway. All right, so next up, we're going into the alleyway. We're going, pulling up that garage door. Beep, beep, everybody. Here comes. Backing out the COVID-19 dump truck again. It's been a couple weeks since we've had one of these, isn't it?
Yeah. It was nice while it lasted.
Yeah, while it lasted. Wonderful. But anyway. So, yeah. Before we get started, I just wanted to tell you, show you just really quickly what the rate of vaccination is in the United States as of this week. As of the 15th of October, that's yesterday, 67% of the population have received at least one dose of the vaccine, while 57% of the population have been fully vaccinated. So it is slowly climbing. Definitely not fast enough for my liking, but it is there. But first bit of the dump truck we got, Merck is seeking an EUA for its pill that treats mild to moderate patients. Now, keep in mind, this is a treatment pill, not a prevention pill. This will not replace the vaccination. So, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah. Merck is the one pushing this, M-E-R-C-K. Not like mercenary or anything, but
yeah.
Yeah, they're seeking authorization for this, for an emergency use authorization. The treatment cuts the rate of hospitalization and death by 50% in a trial of mild to moderately ill patients who had at least one risk factor for the disease. According to data they released earlier this month. Yeah, it seems to be pretty good for what it is, as they have a number of countries, especially in like Southeast Asia, kind of signing deals with them to get this stuff to help out. So yeah, this drug maker has a U.S. government contract to supply 1.7 million courses at a price of $700 per course.
Good.
Hoping to produce about 10 million of them by the end of this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, any of us who've had COVID at any time, we know the symptoms are not fun. And the other part of it is the fact that the symptoms are never regular. They are essentially a six-sided die of bullshit that you have to deal with every morning you wake up. Like today, okay, today I'm going to have a sore throat and maybe some muscle soreness. And you wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, great, my uvula is swollen and I can't taste anything. You know, it's crap like that. So any pill that can help treat that type of shit is definitely something I approve of. It is not fun having that freaking disease.
Might even be more like a 20-sided die of bullshit.
Yeah. Other piece we got for the dump truck, the FDA has recommended a booster dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Johnson & Johnson, one for those who don't know, is the one-shot vaccine rather than the two shots that AstraZeneca and, what's the other one, Moderna?
Yeah, Pfizer and Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one is a 19-0 vote on the panel that will come at least 2 months after initial immunization with one more shot of the J&J vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And applies to people 18 years and older.
Mm.
So hopefully that gets approved by the FDA as a whole and CDC.
Yep.
So that is good news for people that took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. Next up, we now know that the United States will be donating more than 17 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to the African Union, which is good. Yep. Now, it's the thing is, of course, that is specifically difficult because you need to make sure that they have the sort of infrastructure in place so that they can store these vaccines because, you know, they got to be stored at a certain temperature to remain effective.
Yeah. But yeah, they had Kenyan Uhuru Kenyatta at the White House earlier this week, and that's when they made the announcement for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that comes on top of the 50 million vaccine doses they've already donated.
Mm.
Some more good news there.
Mm.
Yeah, the World Health Organization said last month the African continent is about 500 million doses short of what is needed to achieve its goal of vaccinating 40% of people by the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot.
Awesome. Yes. And finally, for the dump truck, Governor of Texas Greg Abbott has banned mandates in all Texas businesses.
Yep.
That is a blanket ban, so no exceptions.
It has an executive order.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that the legislature, state legislature, gets a law passed on the same thing, which is real great for the party of the free market and, you know, the rights of the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, none of you are allowed to mandate anything.
Because
we're Texas, and as we said before, they are the state of contrarianism.
Yep. All right. So I'm guessing we're probably going to get news of businesses at openly defying this. Probably.
They've been doing that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they've been doing that, but
there's, like, what's his face that owns the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, said, like, yeah, he's requiring it for all his people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling them to go fuck off.
Mm.
Which is one of the only times we'll cheer a billionaire.
Yeah, pretty much. But, all right, so that's it for this week. We're going to go ahead and back it back into the garage, close the door, and it's kind of a coin toss whether we'll be taking it out again next week. We'll see. Considering, you know, we're fall heading into winter, I have a feeling that COVID's probably going to make another comeback. But we'll see. We'll see. We got things out in the ether that we didn't have this time last year, so we'll see how it goes. Anyway, moving on from there. The House of Representatives have passed a short-term increase in the federal debt ceiling. And by short-term, I mean it expires, I think, December 3rd.
Yeah, something like that. This is, yeah, from the House, voted 219 to 206. Which weirdly to say this puts an end to tense negotiations between the two major parties, which is like, that seems like the Dems voted for it and the Republicans voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not much of a negotiation, but
yep.
Last week, yeah, Senate passed this measure last week, so it'll go to, I think it's already went to the White House and it's been signed, so it'll keep debt payments flowing until December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's good to see.
Awesome. Fantastic. So it means we get to be in for more of this sh- Wonderful. Fun. Well, in good news, this is actually some good news, especially if you got parents or grandparents up in years. Social Security payments in 2022 will rise by their largest percentage in 40 years.
Yep. Yeah. It's increasing by 5.9%, the largest since 1982.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like a lot, but remember, we're talking percentages. Percentages.
Yeah, percentages. Yeah, it'll spike will boost retirees' monthly payments by $92 to an estimated average of $1,657 for 2022.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the highest that highest COLA that most beneficiaries living today have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, you know, not necessarily something that'll cause, you know, the old people have tons of money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in relation to inflation, cost of living, and all that increases. as sort of there's this whole short-term sort of inflation going on.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is also partly due to just the supply issues that are going on.
Yeah. So for those of you who have been under a rock over the last few weeks, the world's kind of dealing with a supply side issue right now because all the issues with COVID-19 have sort of brought our supply chain to a snarl.
Yeah.
Kind of bottlenecked a lot of stuff. So, yeah, that's an issue.
Yep.
You
got an opportunity to stock up for the winter and mm-hmm. do it better than sooner than later, though. Don't go overboard.
Yep. Yeah. Next up in science news, NASA launched an asteroid hunting spacecraft that they named Lucy, because of course they did.
Yeah, Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
Because NASA are a bunch of fucking nerds.
Yeah. It is, let's see. Yeah, it went up Saturday morning today. Yeah, today. A 12-year quest to explore 8 asteroids. 7 of the mysterious space rocks are among swarms of asteroids sharing Jupiter's orbit, thought to be the pristine leftovers of planetary formation.
Mm-hmm.
An Atlas V rocket blasted off before dawn, sending Lucy on a roundabout journey spanning nearly 4 billion miles. Researchers mm-hmm. grew emotional describing the successful launch. Lead scientist Hal Levison said it was like witnessing the birth of a child. Go Lucy, he urged.
Mm-hmm.
Named after the 3.2-million-year-old skeletal remains of a human ancestor found in Ethiopia nearly a half-century ago. That discovery got its name from the 1967 Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, prompting NASA to send the spacecraft soaring with band members' lyrics and other luminaries' words of wisdom imprinted on a plaque.
Mm.
The spacecraft also carried a disc made of lab-grown diamonds for one of its science instruments. And yeah, in a pre-recorded video for NASA, Beatles drummer Ringo Starr paid tribute to his late colleague John Lennon, credit for writing the song that inspired all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, saying, I'm so excited. Lucy is going back in the sky with diamonds. Johnny will love that. Anyway, if you meet anyone up there, Lucy, give them peace and love from me.
Mm. Damn it, Ringo is just so damn lovable.
Yep.
But yeah, so, and now, in some news that is definitely not going to shock you, Korean-influenced words dominate the new additions to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yep. More than 20 words of Korean origin have been added to the Oxford English Dictionary
mm-hmm.
in the September updates. So let's see what some of these words. The term Hallyu described the phenomenon. That refers to the mm-hmm. Korean wave of entertainment that swept across Asia, now much of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That word has been added to the Oxford English Dictionary. There's banchan, a small side dish of vegetables, served with rice as part of a typical Korean meal.
Yep.
Bulgogi, which are the thin slices
of Korean barbecue. Pork. Yep.
Yeah. Dongchimi.
Yep.
Let's see. There's hanbok, aigyo, mm-hmm. mukbang.
Yep. Mukbang. Yep.
That's K-drama.
Let's
see. All the recent added words are borrowings. Reborrowings are loan translations from Korean.
Mm-hmm.
So words are new formations or new senses of existing English words.
Yeah.
Let's see. The interjection fighting is used to convey encouragement. Much like go for it. The OED said, meanwhile, skinship is mm-hmm. a blend of the English words skin and kinship.
Yep.
Or to the touching or close physical contact between a parent and child. Mm-hmm. Between lovers or friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Bunch of new stuff there.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Here's another group of stories we got here. So, there is this odd sort of group of events that are clustering together that are starting to look like the first time the United States has experienced something that we have not experienced in decades. And by decades, I mean like since probably the early 20th century. The general strike. Because right now, there are a bunch of different groups right now that are striking as we talk about, as we're talking. And several others that are going to be starting striking next week. So basically, this next place we're going to call, this next loop of stories, we're going to call the Worker Revolution Beta Edition. Because it's not actually a full-blown revolution yet, but it's certainly, I don't know, I guess we could call it a trial run.
Yeah.
But yeah, so really one of the big ones right now is 10,000 John Deere workers have gone on strike.
Yep. They went on strike at the stroke of midnight on, I think it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
As the United Auto Workers Union said it was unable to reach a new contract with the tractor company.
Mm-hmm.
And saying our members at John Deere strike for the ability to earn a decent living, retire with dignity, and establish fair work rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, said, let's see, where's the thing here? The strike at John Deere is the latest wave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really too much there. Still talking to John Deere to see about getting a fair deal, but with that being, they are striking. Yeah, sort of, there's what weirdos are calling Striketober.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of strikes happening at once.
Yeah, there's the Kellogg strike.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the International Alliance of Theater Stage Employees will start
Tuesday. That one starts next week.
If they don't get a deal.
Which it looks beforehand. Like. Yeah, which it looks like is not going to happen. So.
I think I've seen they're still working on it. So.
It's the, usually, they, when. Labor stuff is involved. Negotiations usually are like go down to the wire. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they basically don't walk out of that negotiation room until the clock strikes that particular time. So,
yeah, and there's just there's one that people talk about, but not in the way that they call it a strike. It's just the general group of people that are not taking on shitty jobs for pay they don't like.
Yeah. Now, we want to make clear, it doesn't mean that these people aren't working. Generally, what happened is, after the pandemic, a lot of people found out, that kind of realized that, God, you know, I really don't need this fucking job. You know, yeah. I could go on unemployment, and I can go, you know, maybe I can go back to school for a little while, you know, get an education, because, you know, now I finally got the chance. Or they decide, you know, maybe I just prefer being a house husband or a house mom, stay with the kids, or they just found another job that paid better,
yeah.
You know, or where they could work, or, you know, a job where they could just work from home. See, the thing is, it's not, we call, the media calls it a labor shortage, but it's not a labor shortage. No. It's just that these companies pay such shit wages with such shit conditions that people kind of collectively realize that they need them more. They need us more than they need. We need them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you see a lot of business that just seem to perpetually have signs up for hiring.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that seems like a sign that's maybe don't go there.
Yeah.
Especially if they're very desperately putting up signs like, you know, work today, get paid tomorrow.
Yeah. Or, you know, pay, you know, they're offering like payday lending shit or something like that.
Or big sort of reference type of deals, or, you know, we'll give you, you know, this amount of money, but, you know, half now, half in, you know, 90 days or something.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
They're like attaching these strings to it that they don't really advertise up front.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, the fast food part industry is hit hard by it because they already, you know, most of those, but not all of them. Some of them are pretty good, but those are usually like the regional places. The big ones pay shit and it sucks to work there, you know. And then, of course, there's retail. And I mean, fuck, we've worked retail. Retail sucks.
Yeah.
It's dehumanizing as hell.
Yeah, and there's parts of it that are just fundamentally broken. Some are just as a result of shitty people being in charge. things they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, we need somebody that is reasonable in these positions of power. And that's not who's getting that power.
Yeah.
And people are just realizing, like, you know what? This wouldn't be a bad place to work if you were paid better.
Yeah.
That's not what their businesses are built on. They're built on churning people out to bring in new people so that nobody's there that long to deserve higher pay.
They're specifically constructed so that they have a high turnover rate. You know, that's not a bug. It's a feature in order to keep, you know, to keep growing profits. It's
somehow if you're still too stubborn to quit, then you're supposed to get promoted.
Yeah. But what makes all this, you know, significant is that this is the first time we've really seen this type of labor militancy in this country in several decades. And
yeah,
it's gotten so alien to so many people that the media really doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, they're used to slobbering about billionaires and millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's what everybody in the system has been built around, to the point that now you have, you know, these people with so much wealth and power that leaves like 99% of this country finding it hard to survive. They're realizing, like, no, we don't have to take table scraps if they're not, you know, what we want and what we need.
Yeah.
We can wait, because guess what? If they're not going to take it, nobody will.
Yeah. And now for, I guess we'll call this sort of preview of coming attractions, these next two stories. Apple recently fired the leader of the hashtag Apple II movement during investigation of leaked internal documents.
Yeah. Apple II has been spearheaded by Parrish. Janek Parrish. Parrish. And another Apple employee, Cher Scarlett, who is still at Apple but on medical leave and would not comment to NPR here. The effort gathered hundreds of anonymous accounts from Apple employees who highlighted alleged verbal abuse, sexual harassment, pay equity issues, and other forms of workplace mistreatment. And so they went after the leader, claiming that they had leaked internal documents to the media. And of course, to corporations, internal documents are more important than anything.
Yep.
And so they fired this person that they have suspected is one of these people. I think they may fire more. But yeah, they claim she deleted files and apps from her company phone amid an investigation into how details of a company meeting with Apple CEO Tim Cook leaked to the press, saying this is retaliation. I've been one of the most visible members of Apple II. I know the risk of doing that. I see a consistent pattern when each of the members of Apple II are subjected to investigations or Apple leadership approaches them. There's been a pattern established. So yeah, that's not great news for Apple.
No. And they ain't the first on the docket here either. Now we've also got Netflix. So yeah, if you've been hiding under a rock, you probably noticed that Dave Chappelle has been, I don't want to use the phrase canceled because that kind of plays into a narrative that I despise, but people have made it known that his most recent special is very transphobic in a lot of ways.
Admits it.
Yeah. And the reason we now know that is because an employee in Netflix who helped lead an internal walkout over it.
And I don't think the walkout has happened yet, but...
Well, it was supposed to happen, or anyway. But anyway, Netflix decided to fire that particular employee, which... It's not going to make this go away, buddy.
Yeah, it's similar to the Apple one, is over claims of leaking internal documents to the media that went to a Bloomberg News report with data surrounding financial figures that they paid Dave Chappelle for his special. So that's kicked off a lot of anger and resentment inside the company, as well as those outside. That's saying, let's see, we have let go an employee for sharing confidential, commercially sensitive information outside the company. Mm-hmm. I understand this employee may have been motivated by disappointment and hurt with Netflix, but maintaining a culture of trust and transparency is core to our company.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a hell of a line to say in the midst of what they have done here.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a great job of inviting trust and transparency when you're firing this person in this way.
Yep.
So yeah, this is a whole shit show here.
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix's part, they even had their, was it the co-CEO, Ted mm-hmm. Sarandos, coming out talking about how there's no way for comedy specials and movies and shows and such to hurt people. Mm-hmm. Which he likened to how, you know, violent video games don't cause people to commit violence, which is like, nobody's talking about that with this special.
Yeah, that's adding it. Like, to
a culture of persecution for transgender people that has led to many committing suicide or being attacked and killed.
Yeah, like that analogy doesn't even make sense on its face.
Yeah, to which everybody in the video game should be like, what the fuck did we do?
Yeah.
Assholes.
Like, we especially really kind of a backhand to the video game industry. Video game industry kind of what it is today.
And if it wasn't for them getting their apps out on the Xbox 360, PS3, and Wii, Netflix as a streaming service would not be where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they should be careful what they are talking about here, and also their co-CEO and chief content officer should be learning about the actual reasons that transgender people are being critical mm-hmm. of what they've been doing in defense of Dave Chappelle, which Chappelle can claim he's canceled all he likes. He's using it in the rich person way, which is that he can't be outwardly hateful mm-hmm. anymore without anybody criticizing him over it, even though he brags about how he lives on a farm and keeps to himself and doesn't bother with social media and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, then what the fuck are you trying to kick the hornet's nest on this shit?
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, even in the comedy special, he, you know, claims he's a TERF.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, sure, whatever. Fuck off and go away for good with all your money.
Yeah. Like, keep in mind, we've kind of given him a bunch of second chances now several times.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's doing this in his last special.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, danced on the topic a few times.
Yeah.
People have been pretty critical of it. And he decided, you know, let's just burn the bridge for good.
Yeah. Pretty much. But, anyway, moving on from there. Yeah, so that was the Work Revolution Beta Edition. I'm pretty sure we're probably going to have another edition to talk about next week once the other strikes get underway. So maybe that'll be there. We don't know. We'll see. But moving on from there, we now had those trailers we spoke of. DC had their FanDome event where they showed a bunch of stuff, including some stuff we'll probably be talking about on Day Zero Update tomorrow, specifically the story trailer for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which definitely looked good, not going to lie. And they also showed some samples for the Season 3 of Harley Quinn. But in the meantime, we also got some trailers for some major motion pictures. First, we got a trailer for the long-awaited The Batman.
Yep. Looks really quite good.
Mm-hmm.
It delves into a number of characters, especially ones that did not appear in the Nolan trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Riddler.
Yep.
There's Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
Selina Kyle shows up.
Yes, as well. Catwoman. As,
yeah. And who else is involved here? I think that might be it. I'm trying to see. Yeah, I think that might be it for at least what's shown up here.
Mm.
Get a good look at the Batmobile, which is like a souped up kind of classic sports car.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. This looks pretty nice. And yeah, Robert Pattinson fits the role pretty well.
Yep. All right.
That's when is that going to be out? That is March 4th, 2022. So that'll be an early next year movie.
All right. And next up, we also got a teaser trailer for The Flash, one of my sort of favorite DC characters that I don't think gets utilized well enough.
Yeah, the show is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Even for as ridiculous as it gets, which is more because the character is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In some ways. Because his abilities, he's literally the most powerful hero in the DC universe.
Well, at least in, like, you know, that's the thing. They have never, DC has never told whether he's faster than Superman or not.
Yeah, but he can also go through time.
Yeah, he can go through time. Yeah. He can break the sound barrier.
He can go through matter.
Yeah. The thing is, the reason he doesn't do it enough is because shit ton of risks involved.
Yeah.
That so much so, like, in DC lore, there's a character that's called Black Flash, which is literally the Grim Reaper for speedsters like Flash. Yeah, he is heavily involved in. He was a major, like, figure in Crisis on Infinite. And he's also, like, a major figure in the beginning of the DC multiverse as well.
Yeah, it's a very interesting character. Now that they tease the sort of multiverse stuff here as he brings in a couple of other Flashes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teaser trailer, so they don't really show too much.
Mm.
But then also that's he runs into the Michael Keaton Batman.
Yep.
So definitely pulling in a little bit of what they're doing with the new Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a thing that's, you know, they do that a lot in the show. The actor that plays the Flash's father mm-hmm. ends up also being the Flash in another universe that, you know, helps train him
mm-hmm.
in a number of ways. And there's all sorts of weird shit and has some of the dumbest named mm-hmm. Villains, like Reverse Flash. Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got to think of names that are like the Flash or mm-hmm. what the Flash does. All that kind of shit. It was like, Jesus Christ. And there's Kid Flash, which is his like buddy hero mm-hmm. at times. I think in the WB show, it's his brother, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's sort of an adopted brother into the family. But so yeah, that's a neat. I don't know what to expect out of this. There's just not much to go off of, but it could be pretty cool. But I think that's still has no date. Just like we're still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, whatever.
And finally, we got a building off of success of James Gunn's Suicide Squad film, which was far and away so much better than the original Suicide Squad movie. It's not even funny. Quite literally, yeah. It's not even funny. The James Gunn one is hysterically funny. They have a teaser trailer for John Cena's character, Peacemaker.
Yep, that looks pretty good. It's going to be a show that starts January 13th
mm-hmm.
next year on HBO Max. So you can check that out.
Mm.
Seems like the James Gunn is involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
As well, so it's got a lot of that vibe to it, as he very much seems to be kind of a stupid person. This is what he's presented here. It's good at killing people, but not being a hero. So got some good members of his team, I guess. Mostly people that can't fight, so trying to teach him what it is to be a hero. So I guess
but
looks pretty neat though.
And of course, on top of all this, you know, we also got stuff, like I said, for season 3 of Harley Quinn and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League from Rocksteady. And I think we got some stuff from the upcoming Injustice movie, too, I think.
Yeah, the animated film.
Yeah, which definitely looked good. So, yeah, if you're definitely a DC fan, this was definitely a cool day. Anyway, all right, so I do believe we have ourselves a show for the week. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can cut and cut. You can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got linked for it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcast, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator that you can think of. And if we're not on there, well, just wait a few minutes. We will eventually. Pretty much the moment we find out a new platform exists, we will automatically sign up for it. It's one of those little things that is part in our slow but sure plot of slowly taking over the world and bending you all to our will. It will happen. We will lord all over of you someday. But for now, I'm just your humble host, Brandon Perkins, the host with the most, and my buddy Chris Elogi. Thanks once again for joining with us. Thank you, Chris, for helping with the folks again. With that, I am going to wrap things up and tell all of the folks listening to Let's Weekend, good night, sleep tight, and if you have yet to get vaccinated and can get vaccinated, please get vaccinated, because I would like to be able to leave my house without a mask sometime in my life.